Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 21st, 2012, episode 408. And this episode is brought to you today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am waking up grateful. Woohoo! I'll have another, Jamie.
I know. Just awesome. And just got to watch the race, and holy cow, what a horse. That was an amazing victory. Just to keep pressing like that and beat Bodemeister by a head. I mean, my God, it was awesome. Good job to I'll Have Another.
I feel like I should own part of this horse. Just saying.
Glenn, you got to let that go, dude. You picked it because of the name, okay? Like, it's not like you did some studying or you knew anything about the horse. You like the name. So while I'm excited for you, you've got to let that go. Like, this is not your horse.
I know. I feel like it is, though, because I've had it nailed for weeks before the Kentucky Derby. Only the... means he wanted another cookie, not another beer or alcoholic beverage.
You still would have picked it even if you knew that. So
that's
you know.
True. I do like cookies, too. So I probably like cookies more than I like alcohol. Chocolate chip cookies especially, but we're off topic here. We'll talk more about this coming up. We will. I guarantee it. Plus, I have to break a promise to you a little later on. Sorry.
What?
I just have to. It's required because Glenn Forrester's making me.
You have to break a promise that you made to me?
Yes, I do. But we'll get to that in just a minute. And then we're going to talk about your weekend, too. You a little stiff and sore from your riding on Saturday?
And Sunday. I honestly feel like I got hit by a truck. And it was what... There's something, you know, my friend Madison got bucked off of her horse, and we're in the same group, and she had a young horse and bucked her off. And I was telling my coach, Barb Crabo, I said, man, Barb, I feel like I was in a car accident. And she looks at Madison. She goes, how do you think Madison feels? And I said, I think Madison feels like she was in the other car.
That's pretty funny.
Both of us limping around. So there was something that, you know, and I hate to jinx myself like this or to own something like this, but something happened that seriously only happens to me. And it is the reason I'm really incredibly sore, like more sore than anything. So we'll tell you about that coming up once we get through all the daily winnies and everything. And I mean, literally, I'm sitting here like I have shifted positions probably 10 times since we started this show because everything hurts.
So if we hear some wincing and some groaning and moaning, we'll know.
Yes, I am IV lining the coffee this morning, just trying to keep going here. Got to keep going. I just want to go back to bed. Terrible, isn't it? I just want to lay flat. Maybe I could just lay on my floor and bring the microphone down to me, and then I could do the show.
That is the joy of radio, is we won't know. That's one of the joys of radio. You could do the show upside down, hanging from the ceiling, and we won't know.
until I start snoring because I fell asleep on the floor.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, following an assuredly amusing recap of Jamie's weekend adventures at Galway, prepare to endure an excessive amount of bloating from Glenn the Geek, and all of our regular listeners know why. And once we've all had just about as much half-horse, half-man as we can stomach, the Cleveland Bays take center stage as we chat with Michelle Bergeron and John Mays of Horseflix about the upcoming special on HRTV. And then Leslie Wiley is here from Horse Nation once again to bring us the latest. So stay tuned, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My first Daily Winnie has nothing to do with Triple Crowns, has nothing to do with horse racing. It has everything to do with one of our listeners' birthdays. So this is a happy birthday to Michelle Griffin. Happy birthday, Michelle. We hope you have a wonderful day and get a ride in on your pony. And my second one, however, is where I break my promise to Jamie.
Gag assist. Half horse, half man with beer in hand, and he strolls the infield best.
I know, I promised I wouldn't play it again after Friday, but Doug O'Neill, the trainer for I'll Have Another, spent some time with Kegasus. It was a picture that went round the world. Spent some time with Kegasus, and that is what they're claiming is the reason for the win of I'll Have Another. So I had to play it because Kegasus was obviously directly involved.
Who is claiming that the reason they won is Kegasus?
Kegasus was.
Oh. Okay, I'm like, if Doug O'Neill said it was because Kegasus, I am going to call him up and verbally thrash him.
No, I think it was Kegasus that was claiming that he was the entire reason for the win. But it gave me another excuse to play Kegasus one more time because I couldn't just let it go because I think I kind of have it right after all of my winning predictions. Okay,
Glenn, how many times have you bet on your horse?
Oh, I would have if I could have.
You can. There's tracks in Florida. You could have just driven to one. There's a track in Ocala.
Oops. Okay, your turn.
Well, I'm going to go back to the eventing world. Obviously, I'll Have Another is just an epic horse. It was just such an awesome race. But my Daily Winnie is going to go, I've got two. One to Clayton Fredericks. You know, we've talked about Clayton Fredericks a lot. He's an Australian eventer, and I'm lucky enough to own one of the saddles that he designed from Southern Star Saddlery. So I always pay attention to what Clayton's doing. And he had a pretty bad fall this weekend at Semura and another horse trial in France, I believe. And he says he was actually taken to the hospital, but he posted on Facebook, "Hi to all those that have been worried about me. I'm absolutely fine, feeling frustrated to be laying here in the hospital, but it's just cautionary as it appears a Lottie stepped right on my stomach. We'll be scanned in a few days and hopefully on the way back to London preparations. Thanks so much to all of you and your well wishes. Good luck to the guys at Senior this weekend. Blah, 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 but I'm bored with the hospital already." So, yeah, true eventing speak right there. He just wants to get out of the hospital and go ride again. But he's doing okay. Apparently, it was a pretty bad fall, and he got tumbled underneath, caught up underneath the horse and everything. It was pretty, pretty bad. So, glad he's doing better. Next, Daily Winnie, please.
Okay. I just wanted to say that his Australian teammate, Chris Burton, actually did quite well there and finished both first and second. So he is definitely... What's that?
I said, sheesh, first and second.
Yeah, so he's definitely on the radar of the selectors for the Australian team. For sure, Clayton's going to have to step up here.
Speaking of another selection, we talked a little bit on Friday about Mark Todd. Also, he's from New Zealand. He needed to secure a clear cross-country ride, and I think less than like 12 jump penalties for a clear jump cross-country ride. He could have time penalties. Well, he went out with his horse, Grass Valley, who he's trying to qualify. And Mark Todd, the story of Mark Todd coming back to be an eventer after he retired, and he's, you know, he's not a spring chicken by any means. So him coming back to do this, he was really wanted to be competitive. Well, he has now qualified for the Olympics after this past weekend. So congratulations to Mark Todd and Grass Valley qualifying for the Olympics. And I'm not going to tell you how old they are because I don't know, but he's up there. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is. I think he's almost 60, isn't he? Or is he over 60?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to Google that because I know he's close to 60.
Yeah, I think he's right. He's right around 60, if I remember right. Well, good job to him. I wanted to mention to everybody, too, before we get on to the important audio of the morning, that the chat room is open. So if you want to go to the chat room, just go to blogtalkradio.com, click on Horses in the Morning, and the chat room's right on that page. Or we have posted a link to it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning as well. Well, we can't put it off any longer because, obviously, we got to play it. You know I have to play
it. And they're off in the Preakness. Brilliant break for Bodie Meister, and I'll have another. Bodie Meister, I'll have another to the outside. Pretension is next. Creative Cause, take it back a bit. Teeth of the Dog and Tiger Walk from the inside gate. Followed up by Went the Day Well. And then it's Cosetti, Zetterholm, third last, and Optimizer. And last is Daddy Knows Best. Into the first turn, and Bodie Meister is up top. Mike Smith lets Bodie Meister roll into the first turn. Pretension is long shot on the inside in second. Creative Cause right alongside of that. Here's the Derby winner. I'll Have Another is racing fourth and 3.5 lengths off the pace. Tiger Walk is fifth of the inside. Went the Day Well. Teeth of the Dog is next. Then Cosetti and Zetterholm. Optimizer with one beaten. It's Daddy Knows Best, who's last in about 13 off the pace. 23-3 for the quarter. 47-3 for the half mile. Very reasonable indeed for Bodie Meister. As Creative Cause is on the chase, Pretension is third. I'll Have Another is in the clear, racing three wide and fourth. And Maryland's Tiger Walk is fifth in between horses. That's two more lengths to Teeth of the Dog and Zetterholm. Followed by Went the Day Well, who's ridden along for run, but got to do a little better than Cosetti and Optimizer, and Daddy Knows Best. Six furlongs in 1, 11, and 3. Bodie Meister still going. Creative Cause fully ridden in second. I'll Have Another is third at the top of the stretch. I'll Have Another third and attempting to close, but Bodie Meister gets away, kicks away to a three-length lead. I'll Have Another is charging on the outside. A furlong left to go. The rematch is on. Bodie Meister, I'll Have Another on the outside. I'll Have Another. Bodie Meister, photo finish. I'll Have Another in Baltimore. I'll Have Another at Pimlico. I'll Have Another in the Preakness. Bodie Meister was second.
Woo! Just gives you goosebumps. Holy moly. And that wasn't even... Go ahead,
Bud. You see that... I'll Have Another just waited until that back stretch or till that till he came around that final turn to turn it on. He just and then you could see the afterburner kick in. He faded back a little tiny bit and then the afterburner kicked in and he was just off. It was so cool to watch.
Oh, well, you just look at a race like this being a mile and a 16th and you just think, okay, how much better is the next distance going to be for him, being that the Preakness is the Belmont is a mile and a half? It just seems like that's going to suit him a heck of a lot better, even to have that final stretch run be a little bit later so he can kind of pick everybody off. But he broke really well the whole race. He was in it, in perfect position. Bodie Meister just tries to go wire to wire, and, man, he just got run down, just got run down.
Jockey is not going to have any trouble finding rides from now on. No trouble at all.
They're doing a lot of comparisons, Glenn, to Affirmed, and who won the Triple Crown in 1978, and this situation, because the jockey of Affirmed had never ridden in a Triple Crown race ever, and then won the Triple Crown. So that was one of the things that they were comparing him to. Just the whole team is just so exciting to watch. God, I love the Triple Crown. sorry.
Well, I have an interview here about 2 minutes long with Doug O'Neill, who's, of course, the trainer of I'll Have Another. This was done by WBAL Radio out of Baltimore right after the race. So let's take a listen to what he had to say right after the race.
I've got the man who was celebrated in the winner's circle just moments ago, Doug O'Neill. Not one, but two legs of the Triple Crown. First, the emotion involved in winning here today at the Preakness.
You got to love Baltimore. This is incredible. It's an unbelievable feeling, and can't even put into words how the whole 10 days has gone here, and everything's just been so smooth. Everyone's been so hospitable, and the horses just loved it here. And what a ride by Mario Gutierrez, and what a finish. Like, it's just unbelievable.
Just before the jockeys mounted the horses prior to the start of the race, you and Mario were having a conversation. He looked very calm. You looked very calm, but a few words were exchanged. What was the last-minute advice?
Well, you know, he actually, I was just trying to distract and talk about other things, and he said, now, if they slow down, do you want me to be pretty close to him? And I said, Mario, you know this horse, and you just, it's a mile and 3/16, it's a long race, just ride your race. And that was kind of it, and just, I hate putting too much into a jock's head, especially at that moment. I more just want to pump him up and remind him what a great rider he is, what a great horse that horse is, and how they get along so well. That was kind of where that went.
And then down the stretch, it looked like Bodemeister showed the heart of a champion, and it looked like he might hold you off by a neck somewhere. Somehow, Gutierrez found a little bit more out of I'll Have Another. What were you thinking as you watched those last 300 yards?
I know most of the time you're wanting that wire to come. You're like, where's the wire? Where's the wire? And this time we were yelling for wire, wait up, wire, more stretch. So, you know, but even in the Churchill Downs, you didn't get the lead to the last 100 yards. So he's just a deep closer. And, you know, when he gets that stride going, it's incredible. I got to thank my man Larry Jones, a.k.a. Thumper, for really, he does a lot of great chiropractic work on this horse, for keeping him open up. And, man, is he a runner, this horse.
Larry Jones, you mentioned Thumper. I had a chance to visit with him earlier in the week, and he said part of the key to success with I'll Have Another is the length of his strides, the ease of his run, so much pressure. I think everybody in this track felt it. Didn't look like the horse felt it at all.
I know. No, he's just a smooth customer, and a lot of it is the people surrounding him take such great care of him. And, you know, he's maintained that beautiful stride, and his energy's been incredible, and he's just a once-in-a-lifetime horse.
Doug,
I love that his chiropractor's name or nickname is Thumper. That's perfect.
You know, what I love about that whole idea is that, you know, there's not much alternative medicine in the backstretch of any track. You know, it is very much the way that they've done it for 100 years. Oh, you got to put this blister on this and do this wrap and do this. And I love the fact that he's bringing into the forefront an alternative therapy. Like chiropractic. You just don't see that a lot. You see it a lot in show barns, but you don't see it a lot on the racetrack. And I love that part of it because it kind of opens people's eyes like, huh, well, that horse just won the Derby and the Preakness, and he's getting his back thumped on. We should try that.
Right. I agree.
They're athletes, and you know, they need that work.
I heard there was one other horse in the race, too, that gets massages like every day and that they brought up. I forget which one that was, but they talked about that as well. So maybe that's something that's really coming on. And that next, they'll be getting acupuncture and everything else. Traditional. Dr. Wendy Ying will be there in the backside, but I'll Have Another poking and pulling needles.
I'd love to see it. That'd be awesome. Awesome.
So that was a terrific race. It was very exciting, and it looks like Bodemeister is out. Is that what you said this morning, that he's definitely not running? Why go back and get beat a third time, huh?
Yeah, he has flown back to California on Sunday morning. He's going to stay in training, but is definitely going to skip the Belmont Stakes. So, you know, that's really not his kind of race either, the mile and a half. That's a bit long for him. And I'm sure, you know, if he was in the running for the Triple Crown, he certainly would have been there or had won at least one leg, he would have done it. But, yeah, to get beat twice in a row by the same horse who's, you know, I'll Have Another. Actually, it's like they woke up Sunday morning and they put him on a plane or put him on a van. It actually already took him to New York. He is in New York at Monday morning.
I love Doug O'Neill. I love Baltimore enough that I'm getting the hell out of here as soon as I can tomorrow morning. He didn't say
is that,
that
what
I meant.
Said?
No, he didn't say that. He did say I love Baltimore. I added the last part. I love it so much. So, we're out of here. But that would seem to be there the way they do things. They moved him right away after he was in Louisville, too. They moved him right away. So that seems to be the way. They just like giving him time to be acclimated. Now, he's going to have some familiar he's going to have some familiar horses in that race with him because Doolahan's expected to race, of course, from the Kentucky Derby. Rousing Sermon's expected to race Streetlife. Union Rags is supposed to be there. They also, Optimizer and Creative Cause are expected to race again. So it's going to be interesting to see. I wonder, does – so this is my question to you, Jamie. You've run horses, maybe not quite to this level, but you used to be at Keeneland. Does a horse like this need that lead horse to bounce off of, you know, to catch? And if he's just part of the opening pack and doesn't have that one horse he's following the whole time, can he do it? I don't know.
Well, you know, this kind of thing is just not proven because every horse is going to be different, Glenn. And a horse like him, having run down a horse, obviously that's kind of the style that he likes. And there's so many horses like Secretariat, like Zenyatta, who love to come from behind and do it in such dramatic fashion that, like you said earlier, it gives you an ulcer. You know, like, come on, just please, can you just lead wire to wire for once? My God. But no, they seem to like him to kind of sit behind the pack, and especially in a race like the Belmont Stakes where it's so much longer, nobody wants to take the lead in that one. I mean, nobody wants to break first and go wire to wire except for a horse like Secretariat who's going to win it. You know, that race, he won that race by 31 lengths. 31 lengths. Ridiculous. And obviously nobody's come close to that again. But they shipped I'll Have Another at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, put him in the van. They feel very confident that this horse can do it. Now, I don't know who would break first and who would lead. You know, it's certainly not a Union Rag style to do that. They're going to have Mark Valesky, your other favorite horse, Glenn, is potentially going to run in the Belmont. And then my friend's horse, Streetlife, he's going to have that's expected to be there as well. So it's going to be an awesome race. I don't know which one of these horses would be the front runner. I don't know if there's so many horses in here. I don't know, but I'm sure that they hope somebody breaks and they can kind of stalk him from behind.
Judy Shepherd just posted on our Facebook page, hats off to Ava and others of Connections. I just hope they will let the jockey know not to make his move early in the Belmont. 1.5 miles is a long race, and the Belmont is known as the graveyard of champions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting. And you're going to be in Spain, or coming back from Spain.
I cannot believe that I'm going to miss the potential Triple Crown race. I don't care if it's on at 2 in the morning. It's got to be international, right? I mean, there has to be some international coverage of it. Now, it might be in Spanish, and I might just watch the race in Spanish.
I think is it the 16th? Is it on? Jennifer, can you look it up and see if it's the 16th? Are you heading back? That's the weekend you're heading back from Spain, isn't it?
It's actually, it should be on the 9th, right? I mean, if the 19th was the Preakness and 1, 2, 3.
Right.
So it should be the 9th. So I'll be probably in the air when it happens. That sucks.
Unless they have a TV, maybe they'll be broadcasting it.
Well, and then the pilot will come on and be like, attention, flyers, just want to let you know that I'll Have Another has won the Triple Crown.
I know, and then you won't have any excitement at all to get home and watch it.
I'll be so mad. Shut up.
Just go la, la, la really loud on that point.
Exactly.
So how'd you do? You said you're very sore over the weekend. You were out doing some cross-country schooling. You went up to the cooler parts of Arizona to do that. And you sent me a little video this morning, but how'd you do?
Well, you know, we were trying to do a little bit. I want to move my horse up to training level eventing. So this was a fundraiser for the Coconino horse trials where they open up for the weekend and you basically pay your coach, but the coach donates that money. So they do kind of clinics all weekend. So we schooled cross country Saturday and Sunday. And it was awesome to do some of the stuff that I never really thought I was going to do. I have a horse that in my little rescue jet, he's so game and he's so athletic and he's so amazing at this stuff, and he really likes it. So he charred us two things, and I've never ridden a horse quite like him. The problem with Jet is that he really likes it, and he charges through it. And we were doing all the most difficult combinations. The problem with Jet is that when he's through it, he gets so excited that he tries to buck me off. And that is the biggest challenge, is riding the bucks. And so, on Saturday, we did this, just big tables and combinations, and it was really challenging. And we got to the coffin complex, and it is aptly named, the coffin complex. Coffin, seriously? Whose idea was that? You know why it's called a coffin? Because it's a big, giant ditch in the ground. You can just die, put me in there. And I don't like the ditches. I don't like the coffin jumps. I don't like them even being called coffins. Well, this one, we had a ditch, and it was a weird-looking ditch. It wasn't like a normal, just kind of scooped out of the ground. It was kind of like up and then a ditch. So it was a raised ditch, and then you had to jump that, and then three strides afterwards was a little skinny, which is a narrower jump, and it was a big log with, a cross down below it. Seriously, you've got the coffin complex, and you're jumping the Jesus fence, which was just so scary to me. So, we were jumping the ditch a couple times, circling around, and three strides after, so you kind of had to make a hard turn to avoid running into the Jesus fence. So you jump in the coffin, and then you go around and do it again. And so we did it three or four times, and then Barb's like, okay, I want you to go ahead and do both. Go ahead and jump the coffin, and then go up to the Jesus fence and take it, three strides. Well, we had been turning off of it so much that most of the horses didn't get it right the first time, and a couple people had some issues. This apparently was the complex that eliminated half of the training level competitors at the last show. This is really hard. Straight across the road, it's really difficult. So Jet comes up to it, and he jumps the coffin. Coffin. God, it gives me goosebumps to even say that. Jumps a big hole in the ground, jumps the ditch, and comes up three strides, but he didn't quite know where we were supposed to go, so he kind of petered out and came up to it and finally just kind of walked up to it at the end. And I was, and he's nervous, and he's kind of a bucker anyway, and I'm petting him, and I'm like, it's okay, buddy. And just at that time, a loose horse, riderless, comes at about Mach 9 straight up to us. And I am, I said, you had to jump the coffin, go across the road with three strides, and then go over. Well, this horse was heading up the road and came galloping, and it's on the road, so it's kind of like hard footing, so pop, 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 coming at us. Missed T-boning us by about 2 inches. And there was a fence just to my right that blocked the people from driving down into the cross-country course. That horse then almost T-boned us. At a dead run, jumped the fence, and galloped straight up the road to the barn. All the while, the feet are hitting, hard dirt the whole time, and it is so loud. Well, my little racehorse was gone. He lost his mind. And here I am standing at the Jesus fence, petting him, telling him it's okay, and then this happens. Well, there was no recovery from this. My horse spins, tries to turn and run back up the hill. I got one rein. I'm pulling him around. He's bucking. He's spinning. Every bad behavior that a horse can do, my horse did in about 30 seconds. From bucking, spinning, rearing, plunging. I walked him in near some other horses. It's okay, it's okay. He starts stamping the ground and tried to lay down. He was so mad. And Barb is like, everybody's like, get him moving, get him moving. I'm like, where? There's people everywhere. Because the person that fell off in the woods is like, everybody's running through the woods to go see that that person's okay. And then there's my horse freaking out, and there's 20 people in a group. This lady with her stupid wiener dogs on a retractable leash is 30 dogs that are 30 feet out. My horse is running sideways, and I'm like, get your dogs! I'm coming for him, okay, sideways as my horse is rearing and jumping and plunging and bucking and going crazy, trying to lay down. Every single possible thing that you could do, we did in about a minute and a half. So there was no, I'm circling him around trees. I'm trying to get him, like, to calm down. Well, we just with all of that motion, Glenn, I wrenched about every muscle in my, I have muscles in my body that I did not know I had. Did you know that you can make sore muscles in between your rib cage, ribs in the back of your body?
I got to give you this, though. You stayed on.
I did stay on. It was really tough, but we did it. And then we had to head over to the water, and this was our other issue. So I finished up a little bit disheartened, even though he was awesome for most of it. We did end up jumping the coffin and the Jesus fence. It was not pretty, but we did it. I did it in four strides.
You know what struck me is it's something like out of a Halloween movie, because you jumped the coffin, the Jesus fence, and then the headless horseman came riding by. It's like something out of a, think about it, you know?
Oh, yeah, it was challenging. It was tough. And then we had to go to the water right after that. And, you know, horses galloping through the water. He was still jigging, and we had to go through it and up it. And then you had to jump this huge bank down into the water. And that took about 20 minutes to get him off the bank. I just really never got him back. You know, I just never got him to recover from the headless horseman galloping by the Jesus fence. You know, like that just never recovered. So then we went out the second day. Sunday, he was much better, much calmer, obviously a little bit tired. So that was nice. And we did the water jump down. It took about 5 minutes the first time. And, Glenn, I sent you a video, and maybe at some point we can figure out how to post that on Facebook, because it is the one where I was so scared doing it because he was being so naughty and, like, backing into trees and just was not going to go. And then when we finally did get him to go, he jumped down it so big and landed so hard that I almost fell off. And there's me hanging on the side of him, and it's clearly on video for everyone to see. No stirrups. And then So I
got to give you this, too. I got to tell you, I watched that video, and you deserve another one of these because you must have had your Velcro butt on that day because you should have been wet after that.
I should have been. And, you know, all I could think was I was wearing my .2 air vest, and as I'm coming down the hill, basically you have to jump off this, like, 3.5-foot straight down, jump off this bank to land in the water. And all I could think of was, with my air vest on, I'm going to be floating, like, with a life preserver in just a second, I'm going to float. And hopefully I won't float face down. Hopefully I'll fall face up, so at least I won't suck in the mud water. You know, it's disgusting. So we got down it. But then once I finished that, we were supposed to come and jump a skinny afterwards out of it, and I couldn't do that time. And I was like, Barb, I'm done. I'm so done. He did it. I'm finished. She goes, you didn't finish. You didn't jump the skinny out. But I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to go again. And she goes, okay. And I looked at everybody standing there, and I was like, okay means do it again. So then I had to go do it again. And that's the other video I could say you was the, I don't want to do it again, Barb. It was so he did it. Okay. That is, you never want to hear that. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm mad at you right now.
Yeah.
So we went and did it again and we're successful. So I made it out alive, but everything in my body hurts. I think I need to go lay down.
All right. You do that. We'll take I'm glad you're okay. I'm really glad you're okay. Didn't fight the dust and weren't laying beside Clayton in the hospital. I'm really glad about that. Let's take a break for our commercial, and then we'll come back with our first guests of the day to talk a little bit about Cleveland Bays on TV.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider, Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year. And the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably. And I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. And Jennifer, I believe that we should have Dr. Chang coming up for his next nutrition update here very shortly, shouldn't we? He should be on the schedule.
Yep, coming up shortly. He's going to be back with us to edutain us about horse nutrition.
Okay, OmegaAlphaEquine.com, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. All right, our next guest is a good friend of ours, been on the show many times. Her name is Michelle Bergeron. She probably, Michelle, you could relate to everything Jamie was saying there, couldn't you? Because you've done it, you've been there.
Yeah, I loved listening to that story because I could picture exactly the occasions that it's happened to me and to my girls and how many times you've seen it and where you've seen it. And, oh, yeah, that jump just like that. Yeah, that was great.
I'm glad you could enjoy that. That's fine.
I did.
Well, you're here at everybody else's expense. That's pretty much it, Jamie.
Glad I could do it.
I just don't have the video proof that you have. That's the only difference.
You know, and when I got done and my friend Christine came up and goes, I got it all on video for you. I'm like, why?
Great, yeah, super.
Why did you video that?
So Glenn can make fun of me.
Yeah, good time.
Hey, we're going to be talking about Cleveland Bays here today with Michelle, her favorite breed. And also, we have executive producer for HorseFlix.com, John May, on with us. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, I want to talk to Michelle. Hang out there for a second. I want to ask John a little bit. We never had you guys on before. Tell us about HorseFlix.com. What is HorseFlix.com?
You know, it goes back about 10 years. I've been involved with horses and horse breeds since I was about 10 years old, which goes back quite a ways. But I was watching something on TV, and it was a young lady riding a Grand Prix dressage test, which is, you know, the highest form of equitation horsemanship. And they had this horrible, clunky bluegrass banjo music behind it, and I thought, oh, gosh, that doesn't fit. And it just ruined the whole thing. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, the people who probably put this together didn't know what they were really looking at or understand it. And I was right about that. And that's why a lot of equine TV programming, you sit there and just kind of blank chat. I saw the Appaloosa World Youth Nationals, and they had a youngster doing a reining pattern. He comes up for a sliding stop, and the horse just skips like a stone over the top of the dirt. And that's what they had on the introduction of this half-hour TV episode. And I happen to know the guy who did that, and he thought it was the coolest thing he'd ever seen, not realizing it was the worst reining sliding stop in Appaloosa history. And so I started talking with some of my media friends and horse friends and stuff, and we put together a production company called Horse Flix. And we started doing different breed TV shows and so forth, and we produce the content, we get it aired, and we created a means for horse owners, breeders, trainers, breed associations, anybody associated with the equine industry to get their story produced, and we distribute it globally. And all of the TV production and all of the airings and broadcasts that we can get both near-term and long-term, and we look at years of life to this, all of the airings that we create are free to them. They pay a small production fee to help defray our expenses, but the production side has never been a profit center for us. We basically produce it at our cost to go and secure the footage and edit it and put everything together. And then we generate our revenue from marketing the heck out of it around the world. Our productions are airing in the U.S., in Japan, Italy, Germany, and soon the U.K., and that's our charter. We created Horse Flix to really help anybody associated with the horse industry create their story and get it broadcast in terms of TV programming for most breed associations.
Go
ahead.
One of our pet peeves, John, on any horse show that's on TV of any kind is I hope you do not put fake whinnies anywhere.
Pardon?
we have a real problem on movies that have horses in them with fake whinnies. They just put whinnies in the most inappropriate point.
Yeah, really.
You don't put fake whinnies in, right?
No, absolutely not. No, they're all genuine and real.
Okay. Glad to hear that.
No fake whinnies.
Hey, Michelle, so now you've done, John, many show or different series on different breeds, and now this is where Michelle comes in. And did I see in the promo to this that the special series on or the show on Cleveland Bays that you're in it?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about your big TV debut.
Well, I was actually chair for this project for the Cleveland Bay Horse Society of North America, and it was quite a lengthy project, and our goal was to really showcase the versatility of these horses. And to do that, we needed quite a few horses, which is difficult since there's only 700 purebreds in the world. So we had to find a location central to those that we could get to participate, which I think we had 8 or 9 horses, and we had jumper and hunters and event horses, and I rode side saddle and I took my young horse in hand. We had a western horse. I think we had everything, John, except driving, and you were able to capture that footage at the horse park at a different event.
All right.
So yeah, we drove to River Glen and in Tennessee and did everything there, and they were so fantastic about letting us use the property. Oh, we had fox hunting. They went and did a little remote thing at a fox hunt and saw John actually got the fox on film. It was really cool. But it was, I have to say, it was a really fun day. Since we're such a small group, we all know each other, and we just had a good time. I mean, we always like to get together and do stuff with our horses. And this was, you know, another reason to do so, and now they're all saved for posterity.
And this is going to be on this week, right, Michelle?
Wednesday night. Wednesday on HRTV.
I think it's you can check the listing. Best thing to do is go to HRTV.com and check the listing of when it's on in your area. I think it's like 9 p.m., isn't it?
Yeah, it's 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and then it will re-air 3 hours later at midnight and 9 o'clock Pacific. It's an amazing episode on a breed few people really know about. What I marveled at was how athletic and versatile a breed the Cleveland Bay truly is, and I think people will find it very, very eye-opening. We had a really good time producing this for the Cleveland Bay group. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, it sounds like fun, and I know the Cleveland Bays. I've met Michelle's horses in person, and they are just amazing beasts. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just and as Michelle said, versatile. You know, they do a lot, and a lot of breeds do a lot of different stuff, but the Cleveland Bays just have that personality to go with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've done a whole bunch of different breeds since here, Aquapeckies, Morgans. Now, you're a Morgan guy, right?
True. We got involved in it was kind of a funny story, which I won't take up a lot of airtime with, but I wound up getting my first Morgan about 1978, and he was a life changer. We've really been very fortunate to have more than one once-in-a-lifetime horses, but he changed our life. I lived in Pennsylvania at the time when I bought this Morgan colt, and I brought him with me to Texas, and I was at a stable, and there was a young lady there who fell in love with my horse, and it was kind of a package deal, but she fell in love with my Morgan colt first, and we got married, and I guess we've been married 31 years this month, but he was a life changer in many ways and endeared us to the breed.
Well, and congratulations for remembering how many years it's been that you've been married. Just throwing that in there.
I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, I got an anniversary this week. Thanks for reminding me.
See, that's the thing that popped out at me.
And we also have a Gypsy Vanner gelding. That's an interesting breed as well.
We at the Horses in the Morning, we love Gypsy Vanners. We love talking about them, and we love seeing their baby pictures. Mm-hmm. Love seeing baby pictures of Gypsy Benders. There's nothing cuter. Michelle, so what's up with you? Are you back to competing again? Are you full-time competing? Or are you teaching at this point, not competing? Or?
I am teaching full-time. I have a full schedule. I have a waiting list, which is good and bad because that doesn't leave me a whole lot of time for my horses. I have my new horse that hopefully will be out this fall, starting to do some shows. We're taking her around and just kind of getting her used to being away from home and away from her friends and all sorts of things of that nature. She gets on the trailer, but didn't want to get off the trailer. So we've been working quite a bit about getting off the trailer because that sometimes is necessary to compete. So
yes, that's important.
It is important.
What type of competing do you do before you go on? Is it just Cleveland Bay stuff or what?
Well, there isn't really just Cleveland Bay stuff since there's so few of us. There's a series on the East Coast with Upperville and Warrenton that we've actually taken Emma up to, and that's Hunters. And then I primarily event, but as these horses are so versatile, I mean, Emma did jumpers down the East Coast and was, you know, champion junior jumper for whatever years. If I want to take her to a jumper show one weekend, we do that. If I want to take her to a dressage show and ride her side saddle the next weekend, we do that. And, you know, we're competitive and win. If I want to take her to a horse trials the next weekend, I do that. And, you know,
cool.
Again, competitive and win. And so really, whatever looks good. I mean, she's done extreme cowboy race, competitive trail.
So
we love
sporty
to go
stuff.
Do free demos.
So sporty stuff, not like pleasure kind of stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah, we go off and do things.
Tear it up. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Try to stay on the right side of the horse.
Yeah. You and me both, sister. So you talk about the horse not wanting to get off the trailer. That is not a common problem that most people have.
No, well, this mare, who is not a Cleveland Bay, had been a brood mare and with a herd reduction. And, you know, we saw her and we're like, wow, that's a really super horse. And knew she had some holes, didn't really know the depth of them. And when I got her home, all excited with my new horse and they weren't getting this horse off the trailer. So it was quite a production, and so we started the next couple of days with getting on and getting off and getting on and getting off. So it's been very much like having a young horse in that some of the stuff we've had to do is maybe remedial in nature.
Well, that's all part of it.
That's all part of it
when you get a rescue or the situation like a herd reduction. And so was she even broke before you started her? She just a broodmare?
She had been started enough to get inspected and had done, you know, a handful of little things at the farm. And the mind was green and that it doesn't have a lot of exposure, but the body's, you know, far enough along that she doesn't do stupid green horse things and she's not gangly and all of those things that come with having a young green horse. So it's a different sort of approach from what I've been doing. You know, I've had most recently the baby that I raised myself, and it's the same thing. It's just a different. You have to change your expectations. You know, I was thinking, well, we're going to hit the ground pretty quick, and we're going to go, and maybe not. We just got to do what she says, and take it by her timetable, because there sure isn't going to be any good rushing her or, you know, trying to prove something that just doesn't need to be proved.
Hey, Michelle, I've learned that over my lifetime about most women. They have a timetable, and there's no rush in it. So just saying. I don't think that's much different.
Well, she does for sure. She definitely does. So trying to make our timetables match, I've just decided I should just listen to her. And if I really feel the need to go off and really do something you know, big and fun, and I'll just take Emma out, and Emma says, thank God you're riding me again. Where are we going?
Well, this is great, guys. It's this show will, as we said, will air May 23rd, this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on HRTV. You can find out more information about that on HRTV.com. You can find Michelle at rightlead.com. That's rightlead.com. And, of course, John, you're over there at horseflicks.com. John, I'm going to drop you an email today. I'd love for you to join us. I know a little bit about your background, and I'd love for you to join us on the driving radio show sometime.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to. That's my other passion.
Yeah, it's mine too. So that's why I got to get you over there and have a chat with you about driving and Morgans and all that. So we'll
cool.
Thanks for being on with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good
day. Okay, you're welcome. Thanks. Have a good day.
Chill.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
I do love that breed. It's a pretty breed, and they're great to work with, yet they're kind of big and powerful, you know. Maybe that's why I like them. You know how I feel about the big horses.
They're
so.
They're awesome. Awesome horses.
Well, that's coming up. I have to check out more about Horseflicks, too. It looks like they do some neat programming, so I'll have to take a look at that, too. I have a song for us today that I'm dedicating to I'll Have Another. And it's called Things Are Hotting Up, because I'll tell you what, things are hotting up for everybody over in the I'll Have Another camp. That is for certain. We're going to be back to talk to Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation in just a minute.
Is it over?
It's
I don't
over.
Know. This one always gets me. You think it's over, that it's not. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. We appreciate them being sponsors of today's show. And that is the Rigel Band. Things are hotting up. We've got Leslie Wiley coming on in just a minute. And, yeah, it's going to be she's got married. She's going to brag. She's going to brag a little bit today.
Yeah, you know, I think she's in that honeymoon phase where everything's happy. So I think she just wants to talk about being married. If we hear any stories from Horse Nation, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. I want to hear all about it. I want to know everything. So, you know, I can't wait.
Hey, we had a fascinating conversation, Jamie, on the Stable Scoop radio show as part of our Horse Radio Network show. Highlight for the day was the Stable Scoop show, number 196, called Doctor Doctor. We actually spoke with Dr. James Worson, who's one of the very few equestrian specialists, doctors and surgeons and neurosurgeons in the country. And he talks about dealing with a lifetime of equestrians and their ailments and talks a lot about what's different about equestrians and really throws the mainstream medical community under the bus for having no training dealing with equestrians and how equestrians are different. He didn't hold back anything on this show, so you'll hear that at Stable Scoop episode number 196. You can find it at stablescoop.com. Now, Joe Montana, we haven't heard a lot about. That's your new rescue horse. Is he still alive, and has he quit falling down on the job and things like that?
Yeah, since the last time he laid down. He has not laid down when I put the saddle on him again since his little hissy fit that he had, but he's still very girthy, you know. He's just a young guy, and that's the way it is. But just to let you know, I did take Joe Montana with me to the cross country schooling.
Really?
And I did. And again, reminded me of it because Michelle talking about her horse that likes to load but doesn't like to unload. Joe Montana was fine to load. He was fine to unload, but it was standing in the trailer that he was absolutely bananas about, striking and pawed the whole time. The whole entire time he's in the trailer. It was so frustrating. I could just hear him every time I came to the stop sign. Bam, bam, bam. But we got up there. I took him out of the trailer, and I got up there Friday afternoon. I took him for, I just basically hand walked him, I think. No, I did ride him on Friday afternoon, just took him for a little walk around the barns and stuff, and nothing too big. And he did really good. Where Jet, my other rescue, both came from the sheriff's department, where Jet has so much emotional baggage. You know, I like to say that Jet started, if you have a horse from 0 to 100, Jet started at negative 100. Like, he's way behind the curve. Joey, being 4 years old, and he just doesn't seem too affected by anything. He's kind of at zero, and so I started him in undersaddle. He'd never even been ridden, never been raced. 4 years old. Looks like he's two. Tiny little thing, and scrawny little thing, I should say. He's 15'2", but he's just so skinny and looks like a baby. So he started kind of at zero. So he's been under saddle for a couple months. So I thought, well, heck, let's just go cross-country schooling. I go out there, and I'm just kind of hanging. I'm just with the other groups of my friends, and we were just there to kind of walk around. And I'm not kidding you. This horse was awesome, Glenn. He was awesome. This horse has been under saddle like 3 months. And by the end of the weekend, I was galloping through the woods, jumping over the pre-comp fences, which are like 18 inches. And he was jumping them so cute. There was a group, I would leave the group. He didn't get bothered. I would come back. He was totally fine. He didn't race to him or leave. He never spooked at anything. Where other horses were flying by in the woods, galloping away, Joey just kind of like looked at him like, hey, there goes a horse. Where Jet would have been like, oh, my God. Horse, you know, freaking out, running sideways. Joey was like, there he goes. Okay, have fun. And he just was like so calm and collected when he was being ridden. His manners in the stall left something to be worked on, because the first night we got there, he was in the stall right next to Jet, who he's turned out with at home. He whinnied all night long, screamed all night long. I felt so bad for the people that were parked just outside the stall. There was three women in a trailer right outside the stall, and he must have kept him up all night, because I was about 25 feet away, and he was driving me crazy. They were 5 feet away. And he's just out all night long. Bless you,
he was
heart.
A police horse. You'd think that he wouldn't have
those issues. This is not the police horse. This is my little four-year-old.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I get all your rescues mixed up.
I know. Well, the police horse wasn't really rescue. We actually paid good money for that one.
All right, so I got you. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, this is the baby that's been under
saddle. Sometimes that goes away with time, sometimes.
Yeah, well, the second night he was really good, and he loaded really well, and he was still pawed all the way home. But he was really good, and I was just so pleased with him galloping around through the pasture, through the woods, and being under saddle 3 months. It was just great. It was funny, though, because we started out, and I turned around to all the girls. We're all walking together, and I said, just so you guys know, and you don't have to say it behind my back, I do realize that I am on the worst moving horse ever. I'm like, this is the worst mover you will ever see. You don't have to whisper about it behind my back. I am well aware. So they're all like, okay. And then later on, one of them did come up to me and go, man, that horse about hits his chin with his knees, doesn't he? And I said, yep, he moves like a hacky pony. I'm like, it's cool. I understand.
You know,
I
maybe
totally
you should reconsider what type of show you're bringing him in.
Take him in the Hackney Pony shows.
Yeah, just bring him in any of the High Stepper shows. You'll be in great shape.
We will be. We will be. Bless his little heart. When I was cantering through the woods and I could, like, see his legs flying out to the sides of him. Like, they about hit me in the ear. How uncoordinated this horse is. But he's getting better. He just stood in a stall for 4 years, and he's 4 years old. So he doesn't have a great basis for having some balance. So hopefully this weekend he grew up a little bit. So there you go. But our next guest is on the line. And, oh, my God, I cannot wait to talk to her about her wedding. We have Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. First of all, let's start out with Leslie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. How
I'm
was it?
I'm an honest
everything.
Woman now. it was fantastic. The shoes, by the way, were a huge hit. So Jamie, Leslie won, Glenn zero.
I still think they were stripper shoes, but obviously your guests like strippers. See, that's where we're at here.
But we're not really denying that they were stripper shoes. They probably were stripper shoes, but they were all we're saying is they were hot and they worked.
Yeah,
they did look
and
good with the dress. I have to say, you sent us a picture and they did look good.
Thanks.
Her flowers matched her shoes, Glenn. I mean, it was well played.
Thank you.
So, where did you get married?
We had the ceremony in a park in downtown Knoxville, and then we had the reception in, there's a really interesting architectural structure called the Sun Sphere, and that you may have seen driving up 75, but it's a big, it looks like a disco ball on stilts in the middle of downtown, so that's where we had the party afterwards. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah.
And your honeymoon, did you go directly on your honeymoon?
We did. We went straight away to the Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, which was fabulous, super, super amazing. I'm still kind of in having transitional problems. Like, I don't really understand why no one will bring me a drink whenever I want it, or why I can't take naps whenever I feel like it, but...
Wait. No. You're missing the point of being married, honey. That's what your husband's now for.
That's true. But still, yeah, I could be
dream
like,
on.
Honey, bring me a pina colada. But he'll be like, honey, it's 8 in the morning, you know. So there's that issue. I actually have things to do, you know.
Gotcha. What'd you do on your honeymoon?
Well, probably the highlight of the honeymoon, of course, was we went and rode horses on the beach, which is, you know, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone and done that?
I'm going to do it in about a week and a half, so tell me everything. Describe it.
Man. Oh, yeah. It is the stuff of bucket lists. We were in Punta Cana, and we went to a stable that was not too far from the resort that we were staying with and staying at. And I got put on this horse named, what was his name? Samurai, a little Pasifino. And so we just went out and rode on the beach. I would have been totally cool to just like, you know, walk and look at the sights but no, our guides were like, we're galloping. Like every time there was a clear stretch of beach, we were booking it, which was, it was fun on one hand, but on the other hand, I was wearing, like short shorts and flip flops. And by the time the ride was, I know, I was like, you'd think I would be prepared for something. But I didn't, I really didn't have my hopes up to go do this. Like I was, and even when my husband suggested it, I was like, I tried to like act cool and like, oh yeah, that'd be all right. But you know, only if you want to. And he was all about it, which is like, you know, immediately, like, I think this thing's going to work out between us. But our legs were rubbed raw by the end of it, which was the only drawback.
What's really awesome about that is that you get these raw, open wounds, and then you go jump in the salt water in the ocean. Yeah, that feels good.
Or the chlorine pool,
right,
either one.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I went and jumped straight in the pool, which was... But it was, you know, nothing that I still bothered me after a couple drinks. So,
Leslie, but, did your husband ride?
I've given him a handful of riding lessons. He definitely has expressed interest in it, and he's very supportive of it. He's not a rider per se.
So, but he was able to gallop down the beach.
Yeah, it was funny. I think he kind of kept slipping off one way, but then he'd ride himself, and then he'd kind of slip off. I think maybe a stern for an even, but yeah, and he was doing that thing. You know, some show jumpers and like especially dude show jumpers will like post the canner.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? He picked up doing that, and I was like, oh, good job, sweetie. Like I don't know. Do you know what the purpose of that is, posting the canner?
I don't know, but I've seen a lot of polo players do it, and maybe it's just because it's a little more comfortable than sitting back. Because the way that those stirrups are designed is they have their feet out in front of them so much because they slam on the brakes so hard. So maybe it's just a little bit more comfortable than sitting on their,
yeah.
You know what.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I thought maybe it was some sort of self-defense for one's manly bits. So I was like, way to go, sweetie. You look out for those.
What was it like riding Pasifinos? I mean, my God, that's something probably you've never ridden before.
Yeah, were they dancing down the beach? Did you actually walk trot canter, or were you doing the dance?
They did kind of like a jolty, like it wasn't, you know, super smooth like I thought. It was kind of like jolty, pulty, like... you know, but then they'd pick up the canner, and then, you know, they did have a canner, but, yeah, and the horse that I was riding was super, super hilarious. He was like so disgruntled and like kind of angry about everything. And like, I guess just from, you know, carting tourists around, I guess anybody would be, and every time we'd pick up the canner, he'd like pin his ears down and be like, it was like you could see the wheels turning his head, like he was thinking about bucking me off, but then he'd you know, like think better of it and be like, I'm sorry, lady, like it's not you, it's me, I hate my job, you know. he reminded me of like a burnout like New York cab driver.
Yeah. So, you know, what you should have discussed is when you got back, you should have sat down with the owner of the stables and said, listen, my friend Samurai here, I think he needs his toxins injected. and maybe a little bit of chiropractic work and acupuncture on his back. And then, you know, when was the last time you had his teeth done? Because really his teeth were probably a little bit sharp. He was tossing his head at the bit. And really, you know, he could use a trim, and I think back shoes would be in order. He's really wearing...
I'm sure that would have gone over real well.
I'm not sure this saddle fits appropriately either. You may want to invest in a Devaku or, you know, something like that.
Right, yeah, I'm sure they would have just, and you know, nobody really spoke English down there, and so I'm sure they would have just nodded and smiled and had no idea what I was talking about, but yeah, that's what I should have done.
You can say, yo tengo una silla, necesita una nueva silla por la caballo. I've been practicing. I just had to force me to new saddle.
Oh, nice. Good work.
Thank
so
you.
So where are you going? Where are you going to ride? Where are you going on vacation?
I don't want to run up people or anything, but... next week, I will be riding Andalusians down the beach in Spain.
No. Oh, my goodness. That is so exciting.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. So the first week, we're staying in an Andalusian farm, and every morning, it's a trail ride, either through the sunflower fields, the olive groves, the beach, whatever. And then afternoon is dressage lessons where I can perfect my pee off and passage. I will do a tempo change.
Goodness. Oh, I hate you so much. You have to take lots of pictures and put them on Facebook for us.
Oh, don't you worry. I will. And here's what's really awesome is this is what you can look forward to. And tell your husband about this, because this is what you need to write this down. This is my 2-year anniversary, wedding anniversary. Uh-huh. We're gone over. So he's got 2 years to get his money saved up to take you to Spain.
I will tell him that. I know we've only been married for 2 weeks, but here's the deal.
Yeah. I want to go ride non-gated horses in Spain.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Ooh.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'll definitely take lots of pictures, but did you post some pictures of your honeymoon and all that on your Facebook page?
I did. I think I posted a couple. I'll stick some up on you guys' page.
We need horse pictures, for crying out
horse,
loud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, horse pictures. Definitely. Only horse pictures. I even took a little, video, you know, when we were cantering along the beach. It's a little shaky, but I was holding up my iPhone, too, just to, you know, get a little take home.
Good idea. Great idea. I'm going to totally do that. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. Now, let's talk, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about the Preakness, because, I knew about the whole Kegasus thing, and I knew about that the Preakness was like some big party, but you unearthed some sort of bizarre Preakness. I don't know. Is it a tradition?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking around on YouTube for Preakness videos, and these videos started coming up for, I think they call it the running of the urinals, and it's a infield tradition, and it's the worst thing that I've ever seen in my life. Like, it is, so there's all these porta potties lined up, right? And people climb up on the porta potties and attempt to run across, like, I don't know, there's probably like, you know, 20, 30 of them, like, in a row, while people pelt them with beer cans. Like, and not just empty beer cans, like full beer cans, like trying to knock the people off. I'm not even kidding you. I put video of it on Horse Nation.
I think, I'm sorry, I have to do it. I think there's only one thing to say to that. I really do.
What heck is this? Half horse, half man with beer in hand, and he strolls the infield best.
I know I promised, but I couldn't do it.
Leslie,
if you go on to horsenation.com, you guys did a whole little article on Kegasus and it being the worst mascot in the world. And I did give you guys a What Up Daily Winnie for saying that because I hate it, but I did make some comments down below. So you should have known ahead of time that this was going to happen because
right.
Glenn loves the stupid horseman mascot thing. I think he's jealous. I think he's just jealous.
Yeah,
of the horseman.
Yeah, that's it. I actually only love it for one reason, Leslie, and that's it drives Jamie absolutely insane, which is why I like Pegasus so much. But I have to tell you, this is Horse Nation. You got to love horsenation.com because they go from the article about the running of the urinals to the very next morning doing Sunday wine tasting, Bridalwood Blend 175, a 2009 variety nonetheless. We go from running of the urinals to wine tasting?
We're classy like that, you know? We're versatile.
I love it. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for... Oh, go ahead, Glenn.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
yeah, just She's stop finished. Now. Just stop
hang
now.
Up.
Leslie, congratulations on your wedding. Please post a picture of you on the Pasofinos or send us a video and make sure you do put that on horsenation.com because everybody loves a wedding and everybody loves a honeymoon story. So I'm sure it would be very popular. Put it on there. Thank you for being on the show. And I won't be here next week or the week after that because I will be in Spain. So you guys are on your own.
Loving
I don't care
it.
What you're talking about. I don't care what y'all do. I can not do the show. I don't care.
I'll be here because we're actually, is next week Memorial Day?
I think,
it
yep,
is.
Yes, it is.
It is. So,
I don't care.
Leslie, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks then.
Fantastic.
All right.
You guys,
thank
you,
Leslie.
You guys have a great week.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Congratulations
bye.
Again.
Bye. Thanks.
Love her. Love her.
She's learned now when you come on the show, you just laugh a lot. And
yeah.
She's gotten, it's gotten much better since she first started. She just laughs a lot.
That's because we're so awesome. Or she laughs because she's uncomfortable and we make her uncomfortable.
Either one.
Could be that too. Could be that too.
It works for us. Here, oh, there's one other thing before we go today. I don't know if you had any other news stories. I think you've covered everything. Did you?
I have a
do you?
Story for you. Yes.
Okay.
So this happened in England, and there's a police horse named Jeeves. And Jeeves was
Jeeves?
In the barn, Jeeves, like ask Jeeves, you know,
yeah.
England. So Jeeves is in the barn, and he, all of a sudden, the people came down to check on the stalls. And he, this horse is the partner of Mounted Special Constable Acting Inspector Richard Talent. Okay, Mounted Special Constable Acting Inspector. That's the guy's title. So Jeeves is his horse, and he had been turned out after an afternoon of patrolling the lanes of Norfolk, okay? And Talent came down and checked the horse after dark and noticed that he was really upset, and he was pacing the fence, and he was looking around, and he was whinnying, and he was just on edge. And he kept looking nervously over to a neighboring pasture. And this is not like his horse. Although a police horse, you know, they have, you know, they're trained to be a little bit more sensitive to anything that may be not right. He kept whinnying and looking over there at the next pasture. And so Richard Talent, being an inspector, decided to go check it out. He walked over to the next pasture, jumped the fence, went over there and started scouring the pasture, and it was dark. And he came across a baby, a newborn foal, less than 48 hours old, that was all alone, abandoned in this pasture.
Wow.
So this baby would have died had this police horse not been so in tune to what was going on next door. And thanks for the actual owner of the horse for going to check it out. How many times every once in a while the horses get upset and you're like, they'll be all right. You know, they're just spooking at
I'm
something.
I'm sleeping, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently they've now taken the horse in. He was very dehydrated, and they didn't know if he had got colostrum or anything like that, obviously.
Did somebody just drop him off? Is that what you think happened?
That is what they are thinking, because there, you know, there's no mare around, and usually if the neighbors don't know the horse, and usually, you know, the mare's not going to leave its foal. So something happened. Somebody dropped it off. It also, the actual place that this police horse is a rescue. So they would think somebody just dumped him there. So isn't that awful? But
everybody's good. He's healthy. They're feeding him, and everything's good.
He's still alive. It's been a couple days now. It's been 2 days now, and he is doing it well. So they're going to start basically doing the bottle feeding every 2 hours, and as soon as he's ready, they're going to try to adopt him out and find him a new home.
That police horse deserves an extra day off.
I know. Bless his little heart. But it is a rescue, and somebody dumped it right outside there, and that person should be shot. That's the way it is. At least let him know it's out there. Don't leave it to the police horse to find it. But wait, it goes. Where's the applause? I need this one. Here we go.
Well, there's somebody else that should be shot, Jamie. And you've gotten a bunch of emails. I have, too. There's been postings on our Facebook page. We've ignored this story, and all I want to do really is make a statement about it. And we've talked about this before in the past. We try not to dwell on it because it makes all of us sick. And then, of course, we're talking about the ABC story last week on Nightline about Jackie McConnell, the owner of Witter Stables down there in Tennessee, outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, Tennessee walking horse trainer who they did this video. They had this undercover guy, apparently from the Humane Society, that was in there and did this video on how they soar the horses, how this particular guy was soaring the horses. And, I spent about a minute. I taped this, and I was going to watch it because that show's on way too late for me. And I was going to watch it. I got 1 minute. I couldn't watch it. I just couldn't watch it. I mean, I knew what I was going to see. How they use harsh chemicals and all of that stuff, which we totally, you know, since when we started the Horse Radio Network 3 years ago, I said, I'm not going to talk until the Tennessee walking horse industry deals with this issue. And I realize it's not everybody in the industry. We know that. But they've also turned a blind eye to the ones who they know have been doing this throughout time. That's starting to change now. But we said at the beginning, we're just not going to cover this story. We're not going to cover Tennessee walking horses unless they prove to us that they train naturally and there is a movement for that. So I realized that, you know, the industry is coming out now after this hit. There's been a barrage against this industry. The only sponsor really that's pulled anything from them is Pepsi Cola, said they weren't going to work their deal with them this year for their big national celebration. What other sponsors have stuck with them? Saying that, you know, this is the exception to the rule, that we're doing better. Now, there is the Agricultural Department now has had their funds increased thanks to U.S. Rep. Jim Cooper of Tennessee. They've had their funds increased to patrol these shows and to do the tests and to make sure that soaring isn't happening from $500,000 to $5 million. Because one of the problems they've had is they couldn't put enough USDA people on the grounds at these shows because they just didn't have the money to do it. But it sounds like they're going to have a lot more money to do it now to inspect the horses and make sure that this action isn't happening. They shouldn't have to inspect the horses. There shouldn't have to be USDA there because the industry should be policing itself. Whether that is happening or not, you know, I don't know. I'm not involved in that industry. We watch it from the outside.
We ignore it. We ignore the whole ridiculous practice of putting giant shoes and chains around your horse's leg and modifying the gait to make them look this certain way. I have seen it up close, Glenn, in Kentucky. I have seen it in Ohio, and I was face-to-face with it in Georgia. My barn was rented out. The barn I was in, it was rented out by a walking horse trainer, and it is BS that they say this is the practice only at this one barn. Everybody does this BS, or there would not be government, as they call it, the government at every horse show pressing on the feet of the horses to see if they've been sore. This is ridiculous. This whole sport needs to be eliminated. Get rid of it. If you have to modify the gait of your horses and torture them and cattle prod them and put acid on their coronary bands, you should be shot. You should be shot. I can't even listen to you because I get so mad about it. And this video, everybody has emailed it to me, and I cannot. I challenge somebody listening right now to call me up, and I will put you on the show, and we will debate it. Why you think that this whole Tennessee walking horse, big shoes, big lick crap is fine? If anybody can challenge me on that, I would love to hear from you. It is not okay. It is just not okay. Call if you're a big fan of that and you do it, call me up. I want to hear from you. 347-637-3238. You can email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I'm shaking. I get really mad about it. I've seen it too close.
I know. I'm with you. And, you know, we have highlighted the trainers that are out there as part of the movement that are not doing this.
But Tennessee walking horses are awesome horses. They're so nice. They're well put together. They have a great purpose in life. And the fact that people have to change that, the Tennessee walking horses are some of the kindest, most forgiving horses in the world. And they're such great riding horses, and they take such good care of people. And then, you know, imagine your favorite horse, somebody just, oh, I'm going to torture it. To make it look pretty. It's like, it takes me back to the book Black Beauty, where they do the bearing reins and all this crap, and Black Beauty's talking about, oh, 'tis only for fashion. Fashion, fashion, fashion. And that's what these people do this for, and I find it abhorrent. I got to stop now. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm going to get fired.
You're fine. There's something else I find abhorrent about this whole story, too, and this is the way our court system works, and we've talked about this in numerous cases in the past, is that this guy McConnell now is scheduled to appear in U.S. District Court on 52 federal charges, and he filed a notice with the court on May 8th that he will plead guilty to one felony charge for transporting and showing horses that were sored. If the judge accepts the plea, the other charges will be dismissed. 51 other charges will be dismissed, according to the plea agreement. How can that happen? If we have enough evidence to charge him on 52 charges, I just hope this judge doesn't do this. You know, I don't know what the judge is going to do. Maybe the judge will have some sense. Maybe the judge watched the Nightline show. But I got to tell you that, you know, the other thing that's broke here is the court system. And if he doesn't get brought up on 52 federal charges and go to jail, there's no deterrent here to stop doing what we're talking about doing. This guy has to go to jail, period. So that's my opinion on the court.
I could find a better place for that guy, but no comment.
Yeah, we don't do that in this country. But we could ship him to a different country if you'd like. We could do
that. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Cavil prod him, put acid on his feet. Oh, I'm so mad. Sorry.
All right. All right, that's it for today. We're sorry to end on that note, but it was something that we needed to address because we've been getting emails about it, and there it is. You know, we're not going to cover it every day. The other thing I wanted to add, and Jamie agrees with this, we are a show about fun. We have fun in this show. We cover usually light and lively topics. Occasionally we'll cover topics like this and tell you how we feel. But for the most part, we want to have your – we don't want you going through the rest of the day angry. We want to have you going through the rest of the day with a smile on your face because you listen to us in the morning. So that's why we kind of avoid topics like this, is because we want you to have a wonderful day. And we still want you to have a wonderful day.
Glenn, do you know how many emails I've gotten since I put out that call?
No,
zero.
Really?
Zero.
Funny how that works.
There you go. Funny how that is.
All right. Thank you, everybody. You have a great day. Enjoy your day. Ride your horse. And you know what? If you're thinking about this particular topic, just go out and give your horse a hug.
Love it. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld, and kick a walking horse trainer in the teeth.
And guess what?